Dixon Ward. Dixon, now that we know what the teams look like, what was your first impression of what we've seen from the Seattle Kraken and some big signings as well by them today as well?
Well, not surprising. I would have been surprised if they would have taken some of the bigger names that were on the board, just simply because of the contract situation. And I think they did a roundabout way of putting together a competitive group to start, and we're still in July here, so this isn't going to be the group by the end of it. But a good number of these guys are good players in the National Hockey League with some quality leadership and some young guys and guys that are affordable. So I think that they did pretty much what I expected them to do, and they'll add some pieces as we go over the next couple months.
Yeah, and it's going to be the side deals that really are going to tell the tale with them, because some of the players that they selected, you're like, why were they taking that player? Well, there's obviously something in the hopper. How much do you think they learn from Vegas, Ron Francis and company, and Dixon? How much do you think it's different this time around because the rest of the NHL also learned from Vegas?
Well, I'm sure they learned a lot. I'm sure they studied the process and also went in with their eyes open, knowing that it wasn't going to be as easy this time around because other teams were prepared farther in advance and knowing what they went through the last time. But, you know, we can say what Vegas did, but you have to remember that when Vegas had their picks, nobody thought they were going to the Stanley Cup final. They had a lot of guys overachieve. They came together quickly as a team. So you can look down this list of guys, and there's some guys that have scored a lot of goals in this league that are on that list. And there's guys that have been great defensemen in this league, and there's a lot of great depth guys. So how they come together at the end of it will be the true determining factor on how the draft turned out. So we can all beat this to death and wonder why they did this or wonder why they did that. But we have to remember these guys have been working for 2 years. The pro scouts have been scouring these players and researching these players and watching these players for a long time. And I'm sure they had a whole bunch of different scenarios on the board as leading up to the draft. And there's a lot that goes into it, and the money and the term and the age and the type of player and those type of things that they had to take into account on every pick. So I look down the list, I see a fairly solid team with some room for improvement.
This is a bit of a loaded question because it's kind of in your vision of how to build a hockey team. But if you were to approach it this way in building out this team, would you have taken advantage of some of the more star power? Or is that just a reflection of, hey, you want to push the tempo? Because it feels like they did this rather deliberately to corner a market of the D-man and maybe take advantage of that with side trades after that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have done it any different, to be honest with you. You're taking a big risk of taking on a big contract or signing Landeskog or taking on and that would cost you $9+ million. If you take on Tarasenko, that costs you a boatload. Not knowing at all if it's worth it at the time because you don't have your group to know where these guys fit. That's the problem. Stars are stars because they fit well within their group. As we've seen, the environment you're in can create stars. That's what happened with Vegas, with Jonathan Marchessault and William Karlsson and Shea Theodore. These guys weren't stars before they came, and they blossomed into stars. So in Seattle's case, they're hoping some of these guys can take a new step with a new opportunity, with more responsibility. You're going to see some guys that people didn't expect to do really well, and that's part of what they, you know, you got to hope for. And that's why you do your research on these guys and you have a look and say, okay, what are some of these guys, what's their potential, and can we bring that potential out in this new environment? And it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
And Dixon, you know, you look at the signings that the Kraken have made in Oleksiak and Larson, two bigger defensive defensemen, and you said you would kind of do the same idea. is that a real important piece to fit in, knowing that, you know, the Canucks are looking for that type of player. Edmonton now is looking for that type of player with Larson leaving, that those bigger, more mobile, tougher defensemen are the ones that you should maybe build around, especially on the back end?
There's no question. I mean, we talked about this before. You look at the teams that made it to the Final Four in the NHL, they had a steady diet of those guys, shift in and shift out. You know, everybody talked about Montreal's top four and the heaviness that they brought to the game. And Tampa Bay sure had those guys in Hedman and Savard and the likes of those guys. And so the fact is that those guys are very valuable. Guys that can move, guys that can move pucks, but can also play a heavy game down low, because the game's won and lost on the wall and winning those puck battles. And if you can win puck battles with heavy defensemen and get pucks moving transitionally out of the zone, that's the game now. You always interject the highly skilled, smaller, great skating guys, but they're not the guys that you lead the charge for you anymore. The guys that lead the charge are the steady, two-way, consistent, tougher defensemen, and that's what Ronnie Francis and his crew, you know, they sort of focused on that, and they got it done, and they got it well. The Larson one was a surprise for everybody, I think, and that was a good get for them, and a good money, too. They didn't have to spend $7 million a year to get him.
Yeah, you surprised at that just because it was 4x4, and it feels like that's kind of a competitive offer. If you're Edmonton, how did you not best that? And you know, when you're in a situation like that as a player and you just want to get out of a city, are you willing to do just about anything to get out?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't know the thoughts in Larson's head, but Edmonton certainly would have matched that deal and probably extended it with longer term. Because it's hard, like I've talked about this with you guys before. It's for Edmonton, it's hard to get those guys to come there as free agents. It just is, for a multitude of reasons. So that's for Larson, he's like, okay, well, got a chance to live in Seattle and playing in American market and not being minus 50 every day. And who knows what the culture in the locker room was with for him. Obviously, he didn't love it there. He would have stayed there. So there's probably a multitude of reasons that he left, and it doesn't seem like it was money. And so that's something that the Oilers are going to have to, you know, be a little introspective about and say, okay, well, why would that happen? And try to, you know, plug those leaks that they keep losing good players like that, because they're tough to replace. And so I don't know if we'll ever know why, but the fact is that Seattle made a good signing there, and they probably targeted him early and thought there was a chance he'd like to leave, and they got him.
Ex-Canuck Dixon Ward joining us here on Bick and the Boss. Dixon, I know you know Dave Haxtell, and now that he sees the clay or the stuff he gets to work with, how excited do you believe he is, and how much say do you think he had? I know he hasn't been there long, but with Ron Francis and trying to build this out.
Well, I don't know if say is the right word. He certainly would have had an opinion. He would have been one of the voices around the table. And if there's certain players that he knows better than others, they would have leaned on him for inside information on that player. And I don't know if there's any players on there other than, well, he didn't even know the Toronto pick. He never played in Toronto. So that's the that's the interesting part. But I'm not surprised that they have some really strong big defensemen, because that's who Dave Haxtell was as a player. I know he appreciates those guys a lot. I'm not surprised at all that they started that way, because he would have had a voice in that as well. So, I mean, their decor is better than half the leagues right now, if you ask me, and that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Well, the joke already is, we're getting to our text message inbox, their decor is already better than Vancouver's. Do you think that's fair to suggest?
Sure.
Now it's missing the high end of like a Queen Hughes.
I can't argue with you. If you look at Giordano and Larson and some of the guys and the other guy they signed, which I can't pronounce his name, but I know he's a good player. Oleksiak, they got some good starting guys there and good leadership there. I mean, Giordano's got to walk in there and put the C on right away. I can't see anybody else that would be as obvious captain to start their franchise as Mark Giordano. He's been a wonderful captain for Calgary for many years, and he's your guy. So from him down, he's played the game the right way for many years. And so if they can interject a couple younger D-men into that roster to learn from those guys, that's a great plan for them moving forward, no question. They just got to find the guys that can put the puck in the net consistently. Time will tell if they have them already or if they have to go get them.
You talk about leadership, and in building any team, I mean, it's important. But in this case, when it's a bunch of players coming from all over the league, never played together again, and I believe that was one of the things that helped galvanize Vegas. They all kind of had a chip on their shoulder. But the leadership, how important is that, Dixon, when you're making a team to begin with, but especially when you're starting something from complete scratch in this scenario?
It's absolutely essential. And leadership starts with the organization at the very top through the staff. But then when you get into the players, it's absolutely essential in this situation because you have to immediately build a culture, a really strong identity and a strong positive culture. And because none of these guys played together as of late, they're all in the same situation together. So the guys like Mark Giordano and Jordan Eberle and these guys that have been around the league a long time, it'll be essential for those guys to create a culture in that room that defines the Seattle Kraken. And that's the one thing that Vegas did better than any other expansion team, whether they won or lost. They created a culture starting with George McPhee and Gerard Gallant and the guys that they brought in there, Marc-Andre Fleury. They created a culture immediately. They played hard. They played physical. They played fast immediately. Now Seattle's got to build that identity right away. There's too many teams in the past in expansion that every year they changed their culture, tried to change their culture, and they floundered. Florida and teams like that, and Atlanta never found their way through it. That was their mistake. These guys got to get these veteran guys to start that process with them. And then every player from now on that plays for the Seattle Kraken walks into a culture that they have to fit into or they can't play there. And that's the way to build a long-standing, solid organization.
Do you feel like that's why Dave Hakstol might have been a great selection here? Because you think of a college coach, you're kind of starting anew every 4 years with new guys coming in, graduating, and you're constantly changing your the people that are absorbing your message and having to start from scratch all the time. Here's an expansion team, and here's a coach that would have experience of starting from zero every single time. You think that type of messaging might be different coming from a coach like Dave?
Well, there's no question. I mean, obviously, I'm quite biased toward Dave. Him and I grew up together. He's one of my closest friends, but knowing what he's done as a coach, even starting back when he started in the USHL and building championship teams, it's all about the culture and the respect and the integrity and the honesty and the work that he puts in that creates that culture. He did it in North Dakota and made them the strongest culturally sound NCAA program in the country for many years. And that started with him and his approach. And so I'm a true believer that he's got the ability with the guys that they put together there in Seattle to do the same thing. Now, are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to go to the Stanley Cup final? Who knows? But I can tell you over the course of the next 3, 4, 5 years, they are going to be a very, very solid organization from what I see in the leadership from Ron Francis down.
Before we let you go, I did want to ask you this. We did talk about the heavy contracts and whatnot, and some guys like Tarasenko, James Van Riemsdyk. Yeah, there's some scorers, but they're not quite super duper stars. Carey Price is one. Would you have selected Carey Price?
Well, I have thought about that. If I was in the hockey operations department, probably not. Simply because of the contract, and it handcuffs you. And if all things being equal, now I knew for a fact he wasn't going to get selected. There was something else going on behind the scenes, and I'm sure we'll figure that out. Even Carey's wife alluded to that on social media. So I don't think there was any risk of Carey Price going there. But if you're the owner, you're thinking about marketing. You're thinking about throwing a Price name on a Seattle Kraken jersey and using him as the face of your franchise to sell merchandise and all those. Sure, the corporate salespeople would have loved that. But if you're in hockey operations, it was probably the right idea not to. There was good goalies available that they selected, and they did a great job. I think the Cord kid is a great young goaltender. The Drieger kid out of Florida has proven to be a really, really solid goaltender. So I think they've done a good job there. And, you know, the reason you select Carey Price is for marketing purposes at this point. And don't get me wrong, I think he's one of the best goalies in the world at this point. But for this franchise where it is right now, it may not have been the right fit.